we continue our study from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24. We said last week that this passage, this section of scripture is entitled The King's Return. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, and he is predicting, continuing on from chapter 23, about the destruction of Jerusalem, which would come in AD 70 in a historical context, Jesus' judgment, because over and over the nation had rejected him, and he said that the temple, the Jewish temple, would be destroyed. So he says in verse 2, Matthew 24 and verse number 2, Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." And so this passage in parallels Matthew 23, verses 1 and 2, when Jesus spoke to the multitude, seeing the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. "Therefore, whatever they tell you to do, observe, they observe and do not do according to, what they say and do not, do parallels Mark 1 and 2, and also Luke 21, verses 5 and 6. It is the same speech, and much difficulty revolves around this passage in regards to many people's teaching about the end of time. Many people today talk about the rapture, the premillennialism, these sorts of things. The word rapture simply means a period of trouble, And so, if these three passages were paralleled in the background of the words remembered in Matthew 23, how many words did Jesus make in Matthew 23? How many words? Eight words, yeah? Then it is seen that this passage is not even talking about the end of time. It's not talking about the end of time, yes? So we'll get to that. This is talking about something that will take place in that generation and upon the city of Jerusalem that it takes place. Mark made it clear that all of this refers to one single event. Jesus has said in Mark 13:2, "Not one stone here shall be left upon another that had to have the disciples a little disturbed." You and I, whether we realize it, whether or not we recognize it or not, we don't want to leave. We don't want to leave this earth. We don't want to be discouraged. We don't want all our stuff to go and get burned up. But one day, everything that we see will be no more. Isn't that right? Time will be no more. So, there were questions. We see in Matthew 23, in verse number 38, that Jesus said, "Look, your house is left desolate." Jesus was going to come and make their house desolate, and it was going to happen during that generation. Who is Jesus talking to? Jesus is talking to the Jews. "See that your house will be left desolate or destroyed." Therefore, they ask the question in verse 3 of Matthew 24, "As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, 'Tell us,'" who's the us?
Disciples.
"Tell us, Jews, us disciples, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Remember, we talked about the open question and the closed question. What's an open question? A question that cannot be answered with yes or no. Did you have anything to eat last night? Yes. Is that an open or closed question? That's a closed question. Yeah? So when we want to ask an open question to a person, "How did you get here today? When did you get here? How did you get here?" That's an open question. Because it encourages the person to talk. There's no right or wrong answer. So they ask them, "When will this happen? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Which age? Of the Jewish age. Yeah? So this question about the sign was worded differently than the others. That was because the background was different. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus talked about the coming upon the generation to destroy them, so they want to know if there would be a sign of his coming. Yeah. Because if I told you, like I asked last week, or said last week, if you knew that your house was getting broken in next week, what are you going to ask? When? Is that right? And why do you want to know when? Why would you want to know when? Because I want to be ready. I want to be prepared. I'm going to move all my good stuff. I'm going to move all my good junk and hide it. Yeah, I'm going to put stuff somewhere in hand on the afterwards. Maybe I'll get one. He said, man, I'm going to put this over here, put it in a safe place, and then he said, I can't remember. I put that thing in. Huh? So, he talked about their house left to them desolate, which meant that the Jewish age or dispensation was ended. Therefore, they asked, what will be the end of the age? In other words, what? The Jewish age. And so, I promised last week, and I have delivered, Brother George, a brief chronology of the entire Bible. We say that in the Bible, there are how many dispensations? Three dispensations. What's the first one? What's the first one? The patriarchal dispensation. Begins in Genesis. And then what's the second one, Brother Daniel? The Mosaic dispensation. And when did that one start? When the law was given on Mount Sinai. Yeah. And then what's the third dispensation? The Christian dispensation. And when did the Christian dispensation begin? When Christ died on the cross. Yes? And so Jesus is speaking in the Mosaic dispensation, which is from here, from the book of Exodus, Moses, the giving of the law, and continues on. And see, here we see that in the second section here, the city of Jerusalem had been sieged or destroyed more than once. You see in the center, the Babylonian captivity in 586, what does it say? Anybody got a paper? 586 BC, the Babylonians came and destroyed Jerusalem and took the Jews away. Yeah? And so here we are in the timeline. And see, we see here in 70 AD, it says Jerusalem destroyed by who? By the Romans. And so Jesus is speaking on this side of history. Yeah? And so he says that if at some point in the future, in 70 AD, that Jerusalem will be surrounded by the Roman army and it will be destroyed. And that will come to the end of the Jewish dispensation. Yeah? Now, here's something for free. The Roman Catholic Church, what is the Roman Catholic Church? The Roman Catholic Church is the Roman nation in the religious sense. Yeah? So, people teach that the Pope is, the Pope was the first one after Peter. That's not true. So here we see, and all through here, if we had time, we're studying on Wednesday night, the kings in the Bible. Here we see, where is it? Here we go. 1st, 2nd Samuel. Here we see Saul, David, and Solomon. The first physical king, Brother Paul, was Saul. Yeah. And then came David. You see that? The period here of the kingdom was united, then the temple was built. Who built the temple? Solomon. Built the temple, you see that? And then the kingdom was divided because of who? Why was the kingdom divided? Because of which king? Okay. Pastor who?
Jeroboam.
So here we have, keep that to hand. We'll refer back to that. Just put the information in there for you. But for today's lesson, we're going to talk about the destruction of Jerusalem. And so the first question they ask is, what will be the sign? What does the sign do? We say it. What do signs do? They give direction. Turn left, turn right, stop, do not enter. Less than 50 miles or 50 kilometers. Yeah. So they ask a question about time and about the sign. Both of them dealt with the same event. However, Jesus answered the sign question first, and we read in Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 4, where Jesus says, the answer said, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But he says what? The end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, verse 7, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. Is that happening today? Is that happening today? But what does Jesus say in verse number 8? All these are the beginning of sorrows. They will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Verse 11. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures till the end, what's going to happen to them? You're going to have some trouble. You say that, but you've got to hang in there. Verse number 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. So he said, there will be false prophets who will lead people astray, verses 4, 5, and 11, and even verse number 24. He says, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. You've got people today calling themselves prophets and prophetesses, and they're talking about the world's coming to an end, and I'm Jesus, and still doing that in 2024. But this was not the sign. This was not the sign. There will be wars and rumors of war, verses 6 and 7, but the end would not yet come. They wanted to know when the end would be. Jesus said the end had not yet come at that time. He said there will be apostasy in verse 10, but that will not be the sign. People will teach untrue things. Is that happening today? Yeah. A lot of false teachers out there. And lead many people astray, but that was not the sign. There will be increasing wickedness and decreasing love, and this was not the sign. Yeah? There will be persecutions and betrayals, and fathers will deliver up sons and mothers and daughters. None of these, Jesus said, were the sign. None of these would be the sign. And so, last week I said there are two types of time in the Bible. Two types of time. In the Greek, which is what the New Testament is written in. In our English, one word can mean many things. Yeah, if I say this is hot, what does that mean? What does hot mean? What does hot mean? Hot can mean temperature. Hot can be spicy. Hot can be like attractive. Yeah. So the context gives the meaning for the word. But in the Greek, same word, but in the English, but the Greek word is different. Yeah. So in the Bible, there are two types of time. The first time is called chronos, and then the second type of time is kairos. Chronos time and Kairos time. So Chronos time is, and then Kairos. So Chronos, we get the word chronology. in our English is chronology. Chronos time is defined in measurable quantity, in other words, by hours, minutes, and seconds. Yeah? A clock measures time. Yes? It also talks about the past, the present, and the future. Someone look at Matthew 2, 7. Matthew chapter 2, verse 7. Let me give an example there. Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 7. What does that say? Talking about Jesus.
Then Herod, when he secretly called the wise man, determined from them at what time the star appeared.
What time the star appeared? Remember, they were looking for Jesus, the breath of Christ. He said, he inquired of the wise man, what time? That's Chronos time. What was the hour? What time does the bus come? The bus comes in 17 minutes. Or in an hour, yes? And Chronos time is subject to human observation and control, such as scheduling and planning. You and I, we have been conditioned to focus on Chronos time. Oh, I don't want to be late. We're making plans. Incorrect. That's all we do like through Chronos time. But there's also Kairos time. The Greek word can refer to at the right time. It's determined by divine will, a moment specially chosen by God beyond human control or prediction. God sees and operates in Kairos time. Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 4 says what? Galatians 4 and 4. Galatians 4 and 4 says what? When the fullness of time. What type of time? Kairos time. Yes? Now my Bible, the New King James says, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. So, it was not subject. What God did in time was not subject to human observation. Human observation, and it was not on man's schedule. When all the right conditions came together, yes, God sent Jesus into the world. You've ever heard people say, God is always on time? What does that mean? When somebody says God is always on time, what does that mean? What does that statement mean? He's never late. God is never late, but he's always on time. Because God does not operate on Chronos time. 1,000 years is as what? One day. God is not subject to Chronos time. He's not limited by Chronos time. He operates by Kairos time. And Kairos time occurs at specific times, unexpected moments, not continuously, but at a pivotal moments. You say to yourself, have you ever looked back over your life and you say, man, God is good. I mean, he just showed up at the right time. What is it? What is it? That is Kairos time. And so, as Christians, we need to view the world through Kairos time and not Chronos time. You see that? Because if I keep doing what God said and trust God, he will always show up. And he will always be what? On time. You see that? And so, I said all this to say that. So they were asking, what would be the sign? What were they asking? They were speaking in Chronos time. I want to know what time the thief is coming. I want to know when judgment is coming. God's not going to tell you, listen, it's going to be on December 17, 2052, that Jesus is going to come back at 7:17. You're going to say, well, I've got, you're going to start calculating, well, I got 3 years, 7 months, 2 days, and 56 seconds. Don't do that. Don't do that. Because it's going to come, we'll get to that. It's going to come how? By completion. When you least expect it, it's the time by God's will, a movement specially chosen by who? By God and beyond human control. You know, folks say, well, if I die, I've heard people say this here, if I die, I want the Lord to take me in my sleep. You don't have any control over that. That's why man doesn't have the right to take his or her own life. Suicide is against God's will. Why? Because you are not in control. God is in control of time. And then, when judgment comes, guess what's going to happen? God is going to bring Chronos time to an end. But Kairos time will always be. That makes sense? So, they ask, what is the sign? Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. Matthew 24, 15 says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. For both of those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, and pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation such as has not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. And so, what will be the sign? Here is the sign, the abomination of desolation standing where it should be. Well, what does that mean? You read Luke chapter 21, verses 20 to 21. It says what? Let the Bible speak for itself. The abomination of desolation. What does Luke 21, 20 to 21 say?
And when you shall see Jews like the hostile enemies, then know that the desolation thereof is not.
Okay, it's not. What, remember we said that Chronos time is through human observation. Yeah? So he says, what is the sign? When you see this, that's the time. That's the sign. When you see the city of Jerusalem surrounded by an army, you know that is the time. And so this was everything he said in Matthew, what the abomination that made, that was the Roman army that surrounded Jerusalem. When did that happen? According to your timeline, AD 70, at the bottom right-hand corner in AD 70, the Roman army came and destroyed Jerusalem. He had already said that in Matthew 23, that it was going to be desolate. And so the time question, so when we talk about time, remember, same English word, two different meanings. Yes? And so notice, verses 32 to 35, which says, now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you shall know that summer is near. That's through observation. Normally in the summertime, most trees bear fruit. Yeah, that's the best time, summertime fruit. So you can see that, shall see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. What are these things? The abomination of desolation. Yes? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. In other words, God's word is more sure than heaven and earth. Yes? And so the general answer, the sign question was answered And the time question was next. Jesus said it would know that her desolation was at hand. What does at hand mean? What does at hand mean? It means it's close. Your hand is close. Yeah? This generation, so the answer to the time question was in this generation. It was hard to believe. I'll speak to that secretary. But that was what he had said in Matthew 24, verse 3, 34, sorry. The word of God is more sure than heaven and earth, and he saith all these things. About what are all these things that he was speaking of? I've already answered it for you. He explained this time question to a specific date and a specific hour, and he made an unusual statement in verse 36. No one knows about that day or do we know about the generation of which Jesus spoke? That's the first question. And do we know the day? The second question. And do we know the hour? Can we know that? No, we don't. He said, and he's talking about judgment. Judgment. Yeah? Who will be judged? Who will be judged?
Everyone.
Everybody. But it's going to get judged. Matthew 24, verse 37 through 41 says, then the righteous will answer, saying, Lord, sorry, to the right one. Verse 36, but of the hour and day no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving into marriage, until the day the ark Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took all them all away, so also with the coming of the Son of Man. And then it says in verse number 40, then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and another left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour the Lord is coming. So who was taken in the flood? The righteous or the wicked people? Who was taken in the flood? The wicked. How many people were saved in the ark? How many?
No one is
family. No one is family. How many of the survivors say was in your person? Eight people. Eight people in the whole world were saved in the ark. And what were the other people doing? People on the other side of the ark, what were they doing? They were partying, marrying, having a good time, living their lives, living it up, but really living it down. What are you doing today? Partying, because he didn't come yesterday, he didn't come last week. I've got time, promised time. So who was going to be taken by the coming Son of Man? The wicked people. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Yeah? Two men will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other left. Watch. What does it mean to watch? Watch tower. What does it mean to watch? If you, anybody ever been to the army, anybody ever been to a military base? What's the first thing you see when you get to the base? Entrance. Who's at the base entrance all the time?
Guards.
What's that?
Guards.
Guards. And they're standing in that booth. Now, can you fall asleep in that little booth? Why not? Why not? You have to be alert at all times. Why? Because the enemy will come. What does the Bible talk about First Peter, chapter 5, what's the verse? That's a hint. 1 Peter 5, is it 6? What does it say?
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a young, roaring lion, walks about, seeking whom he may devour.
Be sober, be vigilant. What does that mean? Be on guard. Are we always on guard? Why not? Because we get distracted, don't we? That's somebody else's job. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But Jesus says, watch therefore. You know what he's saying in verse 42, Matthew 24, and verse number 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour of the Lord is come. And so there was a need for readiness. This day will be one of surprise, the day when the Son of Man will come to take away the wicked and leave the righteous. This was not as it is taught in many places, that he takes away the righteous and leaves the wicked, because we are told that this was in the day of Noah. They were to watch for Jerusalem being surrounded by armies. Therefore, what were they to do? And what are we to do? Keep watch. They were to watch for the sun, and when they saw Jerusalem surrounded by armies, even the approaching army, they would surround the city. They were to run immediately. Now, this is what he said now. He read this in the preceding verses, in verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. He says, let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of the house. When Jesus comes, there will not be a time to get ready. Yes? He says, there will be no time to go. No, he says, look, what he says. He says in verse 18, and let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. There will be no time to sell any business, no time to gather things together. And he says, but woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing in those days, and pray that your flight may not be in winter. Why? Because winter's cold. It's not time to go home and gather a jacket, get a hat, get a scarf. It's too late. And he says also in verse number 20, and pray that your flight may not be winter or on the Sabbath. Why the Sabbath? Not the Sabbath, because guess what? On the Sabbath, the city gates were locked. And if you were outside, you won't be able to get back inside. We've got people today building fallout shelters, bomb shelters under the houses, are stockpiling food just in case. But what if, you know, doomsday, you ever see doomsday for a nuclear explosion? What if you're not at home when the nuclear bomb goes off and you can't get back to that shelter? Folks are paying millions of dollars, Brother George, to dig a big hole in the ground and build a whole house or city for food, water, oxygen all down there, just in case. But what if I'm not at home and I can't get back to all of that stuff? I'm afraid. They should put a bag that they wanted to carry with them and have it by the door or always with them. It must be understood that this was not speaking of the end of time. He's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. However, Matthew 25 does speak of the end of time. So in the context, it's the Jews to whom Jesus is speaking about. You better be ready. You better be ready. What preparations have we made say we ask 2024 for when the sun comes back? Have we made preparations? We get life insurance. We set aside money. We make plans for tomorrow that may never come. But what about Jesus coming back? Have you thought about that? Where will you be on Judgment Day? When Jesus comes back and is going to call your name, he's going to call my name, and we're going to have to stand before him and give an account for everything that we've done, every word we've spoken, every deed we've done, every secret that we thought nobody else knows about. We're going to have to give an account for that. The things that we ought to have done that we've not done, and the things that we ought not to have done and have done. Unfinished business. All of us have books at home that we've not finished reading. Stuff that's half put together that we say, well, I'm going to get back to it. Isn't that right? Get back to it. Good intentions. Let's keep reading because you look like you're interested. He says in verse 29 of our text, immediately after the tribulation, those days the sun will be dark and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the sun of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and there then all the tribes of earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from the end of the heaven to the other. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 13. Isaiah chapter 13. And this is Isaiah's proclamation against Babylon. Babylon was, the Babylonian Empire came and conquered the Jews at one point in history. You'll see that in your timeline as well. If you notice verse 6 of Isaiah 13, says, wail, for the day of the Lord is at hand. What does at hand mean? It is close. It says, it will come as destruction from the Almighty, therefore all hands will be limp. Every man's heart will melt. You know, have you ever been told some information and it takes you by surprise? And how your heart just sinks sometimes? Do they say to you, that assignment was due last week? Oh, I thought it was this week. And you can't submit it now. Oh man, and I needed that grade. No, that's the feeling you get here. And Isaiah's in verse number 8. And they will be afraid. Pangs and sorrows will take hold of them. They will be in pain. As a woman in childbirth. I've never had a child. I didn't intend to have a child, but they tell me it's very painful. Ladies, like a woman in childbirth, they will be amazed at one another. Their faces will be like flames. And it says in verse 9, behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its growing forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. And he says, I will punish the world for its evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. I will hold the arrogance of the proud, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a mortal more rare than fine gold, and more than one of the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth will be moved out of her place, in the wrath of the Lord of hosts. And in the day of his fierce anger, it shall be as the hunted gazelle, as a sheep that no man takes up. Every man will turn to his own people, and everyone will flee to his own land. Everyone who is found will be thrust through, and everyone who is captured will fall by the sword. In other words, there will be no mercy. There will be no mercy for the wicked. Says their children will also be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses will be plundered and their wives ravaged. And then another, behold, verse 17. And again, the context is talking about Babylon. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, who will not regard silver as for gold. They will be. They will not delight in it. Also, their bows will dash the young men to pieces. They will have no pity on the fruit of the womb, for their eyes will not spare the children. And Babylon, the glory of the kingdom, the beauty of the Chaldeans' pride, will be as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Here's a picture. A picture of God's wrath. God's judgment. You see? And so, everything is for season. Everything is for time. What type of time? Is it Chronos time or is it Kairos time? Now, Chronos time for man, but God's time. When God shows up, it will be the right time for us. And so, what's the point? God wants to encourage our faithfulness. God wants to encourage our faithfulness. He wants us to be watchful. He wants you and I to be watchful. Yeah? So, in verse 32, and we'll wrap it up, he says, verse 32 of Matthew 24, let now learn this parable from the fig tree, when its branch has already become tender and brings forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the door. So surely I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will by no means pass away. It's also about the coming of man, but he says in verse 45, who then is faithful and wise, and a wise servant, whom his master may rule over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Surely I say to you, he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying in his coming, and what we say? Sometimes. And begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and an hour that he is not aware of, and he will cut him in two and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. There will be weeping and gnashing. That's a warning. That's a warning. So, the master is away right now. When he comes back, he wants to find his people doing what? Watching and waiting. Watching and waiting. Yeah? Said last week, or asked a question, where will judgment begin? Where will judgment begin? At the house of God. And where will God expect for you to be on judgment? In the house of God. Mm-hmm. Not in whom, watching football, not on the French Riviera, sipping virgin pina coladas. Huh? Only God tours doing your own thing. One day he's going to come back and judgment will begin in the house. And where God asks you, he expects for you to be there. Yeah? So, just like in the days of Noah, salvation was where? In the ark. Yeah? You didn't have a choice. Imagine how the inside that ark smelled. Can you imagine? With all those animals in that ark and how it smelled, but guess what? Your salvation was wrapped up in all that stink. And then where was salvation in Moses' day? Going through the Red Sea. Everyone went the same way on the same day, all at the same time. And it was, and everybody went the same way, and all at the same time. So in the ark, in the patriarchal dispensation, in the Red Sea, in the Exodus, in the Mosaic dispensation, and for salvation in the Christian dispensation, in his house. What's God's house? The church. Yeah? And the Bible says in Revelation 2:10, says what? Revelation 2:10. Be faithful. How long? Until death, and I will give you the crown of righteousness. That's a Stephanos crown. Yeah. Everybody gets the same reward on judgment. The faithful all get the same reward, the same heaven. I go to prepare a place for you. That what? You may be there also. But you can't, you won't end up in heaven by mistake. Did you know that? Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. He has gone to prepare a place, but are you prepared? And if you're not prepared to get to heaven, guess what you're going to get prepared? Prepare to receive your reward. What's your reward for the wicked? Eternal damnation. The fire that never gets quenched. Yeah? Let's go.